Thanks, dear buddy.
I'm good. But thanks.
Committee on State Government Innovation and Veterans will come to order. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd. Welcome, everyone here. I think we'll start out with, I know we're still waiting for some members to show up. They're on their way, but we're going to get underway here. So members, first of all, I want to thank you for all the hard work we've gone through already this session. We've heard many, many items, some that have raised the hair, I'm sure, been somewhat straightforward conversations on, which I do appreciate. So tonight I wanted to give just a little overview, followed by technical explanations from our staff. And I would like everyone to review the bill, think about it, and then be ready to take this bill up tomorrow. My recommendation for reforms includes several items that I hope can help state government operate efficiently. You'll find familiar provisions from our hearings regarding compliance and efficiency analytics that I am confident can help our state operate at its highest level. You will also find cost-saving measures to right-size our government. I wanted to address the topic we spent the most of our time debating, wage freezes and the pension reform. You will find that the bill contains a wage freeze, reflecting the opinion that increases cannot be given under the current budget climate. You will not find the pension reform item we debated last evening. After long discussions with author Hoffman, I've decided it was best at this moment to leave this out of the omnibus bill so we can further examine the issue. I am adamant that this committee will not kick the can down the road any longer. When the report that examines converting our pensions from defined benefit to defined contribution is submitted to the legislature, we will move forward examining reforms at that time. Finally, the military and veterans affairs budget proposals we have in front of us are in line with the governor's request, and I believe they are reasonable. We have funded the priorities of our military and veterans, looked for savings, and implemented them where they made the most sense. We have provided enlistment incentives to make sure the Guard can maintain their readiness. We have provided funding to staff two new units of the veterans' homes in Fergus Falls and Minneapolis, and we have extended the funded the Higher Education Veterans Assistance Program. Before I ask our fiscal analyst and Senate counsel to walk us through the bill, I want to let the members know of how this is going to play out, where we're going from here. We're going to have a tight schedule with a few parameters for proceeding. On Wednesday, tomorrow, at 1 o'clock, I have invited the Department of Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs to testify. So please be prepared with any amendments for Article 2 of the omnibus bill tomorrow afternoon. Once we have concluded on the military and veterans sections of the bill, we will take testimony from agencies on the other sections. We will break tomorrow at 3 o'clock and return tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for further testimony. We will then return on Thursday at 6 p.m. to take amendments on Article 1. Amendments must be in writing and submitted to the committee by 3 p.m. on Thursday. We will plan to vote on passage of the bill Thursday evening. So next week will be devoted to omnibus bills in Finance Committee and on the floor, so our committee will not be meeting. So with that, members, I'm going to ask our fiscal analyst, Mr. Lundeen, to start walking us through this bill. Mr. Lundeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, in front of you, you'll have three spreadsheets. There's one that lists just the change items. There's a more detailed 10-page spreadsheet, and then there's just kind of a shorter spreadsheet just with the agency-level changes. The spreadsheet that I'm going to be going over is going to be the change item spreadsheet. And if you take a look at that one, it starts with the legislature at the top, and the cuts that have been given to the Senate and the House are 5%, which are in line with the cuts that the governor provided in his budget. Moving down to line 6, the legislative auditor is a 15% cut, and moving down to the LCC, there is funding provided for Senate File 146, the priority-based budgeting or zero-based budgeting and Sunset Commission. There's $120,000 a year in ongoing general fund dollars. And then there is a cut to the base budget of the LCC of 15%. Moving down to the Office of the Governor, there's a 15% cut taken there on the base. And I should note in the bill, I'm just showing the general fund here, but we do continue with the authority to bill the agencies to pay for some of the staff. So there is that cap. You'll see when Mr. Bodden goes through the bill. Moving down to the state auditor, there is a 20% cut, and this is a 20% cut across the board, including the audit practice division. So when we get down to some of the revenue impacts, there will be some offsetting revenue loss because of the cut to the audit division. The Attorney General's office, a 15% cut, and the Secretary of State is also taking a 15% cut in the base budget. Moving down to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, a 5% cut to their base budget. The same for the Investment Board. Administrative Hearings is taking a 5% cut. Office of Technology, there's a 15% across the board cut to their general fund base. In the Department of Administration, there's a 15% cut to the base. And a couple of the items that the governor had in his budget, transferring the EQB and some increased funding for the Small Agency SMART program, were not included. Moving down to line 33 for public broadcasting, the general fund base to public TV was cut 100%. The base for NPR was cut 100%. And there was a 5% reduction to the AMPRS appropriation. The $16,000 a year appropriation to Twin Cities Regional Cable Channel was cut. Turning to page 2, the top of the sheet is the CAP board. They took a 5% cut in their base funding. Next is Minnesota Management and Budget. For the results management, nothing was included. That was an item the governor had, and the task force on small agencies, nothing was included. For Senate File 81, this was Senator Daley's bill, the 15% reduction in the workforce by 2015. The fiscal note that we got back talked about needing some dollars for an early retirement actuarial study, and there's $250,000 in one-time dollars included for that study. Next, moving down, it's Senate File 146, the priority-based budgeting or zero-based budgeting Sunset Commission. There is $600,000 in ongoing funding provided to fulfill with the requirements of that particular bill. And then moving down, the operating budget was reduced by a total of 15%. The governor also had another item in there to increase the ability for the agency to bill other agencies for the old MAP system, or what the new accounting system called SWIFT, and that was taking place in the tails, and that is not included in this bill. Moving down to the Department of Revenue, there is a 10% across-the-board cut. The governor's tax compliance initiative was not included. Next is the Gambling Control Board. The governor had a recommendation to realign the revenue with the appropriation because there was going to be a shortfall, and so we took that recommendation. The Problem Gambling Grant, that's included in here. That's from the Lottery Prize Fund. That was Senate File 650, and there's $225,000 a year provided for that in one-time funding. Next is the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission taking a 5% base cut. And then next, moving down to the various councils, what we've done here is we've reduced the appropriations to the councils, but instead of like in the past where the dollars have been appropriated directly to the councils, instead the dollars are going to be transferred to and appropriated to the Humanities Commission, and then they will provide grants to the four councils listed here. And generally the councils took a 20% cut. The only exception is the Indian Affairs Council. We did not make a cut to the portion of their budget that's responsible for identifying the burial sites, and that was $167,000 a year. But the remainder of Indian Affairs budget did take the 20% cut. So the net effect of that was a 13% cut to Indian Affairs Council. Next is the Explore Minnesota Tourism. The governor's proposal dealing with the car rental tax was not included. The governor provided some more money for the film jobs production program, the Snowbait program. That was not included. And a 15% across-the-board reduction was taken to Explore Minnesota. The next item is the Minnesota Historical Society. They were given a 10% across-the-board reduction. And then there's a number of smaller grants that the Historical Society acts as the fiscal agent for. The Minnesota International Center was given a 10% base reduction. The Minnesota Air National Guard Museum was given a 10% base reduction. The Hockey Hall of Fame, a 10% reduction. The Minnesota Military Museum, a 10% reduction. And Farm America was given a 10% reduction. Next is the Minnesota Arts Board. There was a 20% across-the-board reduction. The Humanities Commission, their operating budget was reduced by 5%, and then you can see the appropriations or the funding moving in from the various councils that were reduced, generally 20%. Next is the Public Facilities Authority. This is the Technical Grant Assistance Program for the Small Cities Wastewater Treatment. That was reduced by 5%. The Science Museum appropriation was reduced by 15%. And then moving down to Military Affairs, the tuition reimbursement increase was included in the budget on a one-time basis. And then also with the Department of Veterans Affairs, as the chair did mention, the two items there for the 21-bed specialty care Alzheimer's unit and the adult daycare operational funding, those are included. Another item we did, the next two items on the spreadsheet on lines 106 and 107 are tied together. A two-year cap was put on the open appropriation, the forecasted appropriation for the GI Bill. And this was a recommendation that was found in a recent report that came from Veterans Affairs. And I have a copy of the report. I think there are some copies if anybody has questions about that. But basically, that this was one of their potential recommendations. They said that maybe some of these dollars could be better used with the Higher Education Veterans Program. Because of the federal GI Bill coming in, there wasn't as much a draw on this particular appropriation. So if you look down on line 107, you'll see the bill that we heard from Senator Magnus. Senate File 449 is included here with the funding at the governor's level, and the funding's provided one time. Another appropriation we made to the MACV program, Veterans Program, Counseling Program, and so there's $100,000. This is on top of the base. They have $500 a year in base general funding, and so this is coming from the Support Our Troops license plate account. And then there was a change of some earmarks for the homes operations. This was in fiscal year 11, and when Mr. Bodron goes through the bill, we'll touch on that change, but it didn't have any impact on the spreadsheet. And so moving down to the expenditure changes, you can see the general fund changes, the cuts there We're almost $68 million. The special revenue fund, there's $300,000 change there. The lottery prize fund, that reflects the appropriation for the problem gambling grant. And then moving to page four, we get to the various revenues and transfers. At the top are, and these are the general fund. I did mention the 15% cut to the audit practice in the state auditor's office. That's because the fees that they charge the local governments for doing the audits come back as a non-dedicated receipt to the general fund. So since the appropriation is being cut, we had to show the loss of revenue to the general fund. The next three items under the Department of Administration are some transfers from some funds that they're closing out, and these were recommendations in the governor's budget that we picked up here. As I mentioned when we went through the Department of Revenue, the additional tax compliance that the governor recommended was not picked up. And then we move into a number of the bills that we heard that are included here, and the way this has been structured in the bill, and when Mr. Bodden goes through and we look at Article 1, Section 33, and Article 1, Section 34, it'll talk about these cuts. And what we're doing here is we're giving authority to the Commissioner of Management and Budget to use, you know, these particular items to come up with an across-the-board kind of general fund cut, and gives him the authority to go in and cut the agency budgets based on the estimates that we've provided here, which include the Senate File 81, the 15 by 15 bill of Senator Daley's. Then we had the deputy assistant or the deputy and assistant commissioner reduction. And as you recall, when we heard this bill in committee, there was an amendment for the legislative liaisons. So the amount that you see there, the slightly more than $4 million in general fund a year, is picking up, limiting to one deputy, eliminating the assistant commissioners and the legislative liaisons. The next is the federal offset program, Senate File 755. This is the bill that Senator Lilly presented in committee recently. Next is Senate File 805. This is the CGIP health care savings account bill that Senator Han presented in committee. And with this bill, we're kind of doing some reworking with it and waiting for some estimates to come back from management and budget. But these are the savings that we're working to get from that proposal, but we're just trying to get everything worked out on it. Next is Senate File 811. This is the CGIP dependent health care audits bill of Senator Thompson's that we heard the other day. And we're assuming immediate implementation of this bill. Then we have the state employee salary freeze. This was the bill that we heard yesterday from Senator Gazelka. Then we have Senate File 907. This was Senator Nelson's bill, where we were talking about efficiencies in state buildings, the fleet management, and the tax fraud. And the next is the strategic sourcing. This was the bill that we heard yesterday, I believe, from Senator Carlson. And so the total of these items comes up to be about 475, just slightly more than that, for the biennium, and this is applying to the executive branch agencies and the judicial branch agencies. Then moving down to the next line 145, this is an appropriation reduction to the legislature based on Senator Han's bill dealing with the health care savings account with CGIP. And so moving down, you can see the total general fund revenue, the gain to the general fund, is a total slightly more than $475 million. And then moving down, I'll just touch on some of the non-general fund items. If you turn to the next page, the last page, I did mention that we did not pick up the increased billing authority that management and budget wanted. This is just reflecting the balance transfers in the Department of Administration to the general fund. The car tax rental transfer from the general fund was not picked up. Line 162, and when Mr. Bodern goes through the bill, you'll see in Article 1, Section 10, under the Office of Enterprise Technology, there's a prohibition against charging for using the state information infrastructure system, and that's related to legislative TV and the charges that are to public TV. And so that's a loss of revenue to the Internal Service Fund in OET. And then this, what's coming up next is just kind of the items that I went through. There were the non-general portion to them, and so this is just showing the non-general fund appropriation cuts. These dollars would just revert back to those particular funds that they came from. And as I said on Senate File 805, we're still waiting for the MMB estimate to come back, so... Excuse me. So then to the other funds, there's a total of a little over $211 million. And moving down then to the general fund reconciliation, we had a base in this jurisdiction of $912,922,000. There were expenditure spending changes of $67.7 million, bringing the general fund spending to $845 million, and then when you subtract out the revenue changes that I went through, the net general fund spending in this budget area is $370 million for the biennium. So that's pretty much the spreadsheet. If there's any further clarification.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, what do you prefer? Do you prefer questions on the spreadsheet now, or do you want to wait until Mr. Bodern finishes going through the bill?
What would be the committee's? Would you like Mr. Bodern to go through it first, and then, or... I'm totally open because we're going to let the committee ask questions. So,
Mr. Bodern looks like he's really anxious. So maybe we.
Why don't we let Mr. I can tell he is so anxious.
He was poised at the edge of his seat. I'm sorry I asked.
Right. Mr. Bodern,
Mr. Chairman and members, I'll take you to the document that is coded SCS 0604A-2. That's the delete everything amendment that has. The articles for this bill in it. The header on page one is the standard boilerplate that's used to appropriate money from an omnibus bill. I'll call out things that kind of either elaborate on what was in the spreadsheet or that are new and different, and I'll move pretty quickly past line items that really don't contain any additional information. At the bottom of page one and the top of page two, you'll see the rider that appropriates the money for the Sunset Advisory Commission. That money goes to the LCC. Then on page two, there's a lot of language there relating to the governor's office. This language was basically put in law for the first time the last biennium and can be described as the compromise that was reached relating to the governor's use of interagency agreements. And paragraph B contains a cap on how much money the governor's office can obtain from other executive agencies for the functions of that office through interagency agreements. On page three, you can see under the state auditor that there's a small writer there reserving a portion of the appropriation for the audit practice division, as Mr. Lundin described. In the middle of page three, under the attorney general, you'll see a writer there that captures a portion of that appropriation for transfer to public safety so they can make a grant to the Minnesota County Attorneys Association. This is something that took place. It was included in the Attorney General's base appropriation for many years and something that the county attorneys sought. My understanding, it was discontinued last biennium. This would reinstate that grant. Under the rider language under the Secretary of State is standard language that allows them to use the money in the Help America Vote Act account, federally appropriated money. Then the next language I'll take you to that you'll see that's a little, that requires some explanations on the top of page four. That's a rider that appropriates some money to the Office of Administrative Hearings to handle complaints that are filed under the Fair Campaign Practices Act. What this really does is it allows them to avoid having to assess counties under their statutory authority for conducting those hearings. Then in the middle of page four, under the Office of Enterprise Technology, is the rider that specifies that office cannot charge a public non-commercial educational television station for access to the state's fiber optic network. Then Moving over to the Department of Administration on page 5, there are a couple items there that I'll explain. At the top of page 5, this is a base rider. It's money that's been in the base and just specifies, I believe it relates also to the use of federal funds, so it just calls it out and specifies that. The rider right underneath that one, beginning on page 5, line 4, provides a portion of the Department of Administration appropriation for the office space costs of the legislature and certain veterans organizations. The language right underneath that captures the small balances that remain in those accounts that provide the services. The account name suggests those services are no longer being provided, so the balance in those accounts is transferred to the general fund. The remainder of the language on page 5 is standard language that has appropriated money through the Department of Administration for the grants to the AMPRS, the local public educational radio stations. Then I'll take you to page 6. The Minnesota Management Budget section there has just a couple of riders that are related to the bills that Mr. Lundin described, to the zero-based budgeting bill. And then also you'll see the grant, or no, the appropriation for the actuarial studies. That, as I looked at it, it will, obviously we're not going to get that to that tonight, but the language there needs to be amended to reflect that it will be a one-time appropriation and in the first year only. The language under the Department of Revenue is just that's standard rider language. Then on page 7, moving pretty quickly through that, that's all, again, language that has appeared under Explore Minnesota Tourism in past years, specifying how the base is appropriated. Really nothing new until you get to the bottom of page 9, where you can see how the grants to the various minority councils are made through the Minnesota Humanities Center. And the specific language I want to call to your attention there is on page 10, beginning on line 15. This is the portion of the rider that specifies part of the grant must be used for a cultural resources specialist for the Indian burial ground duties that are assigned to the council in law. Then on page 10, lines 20 through 29, this is something new. Each council is receiving a grant, is required to report on their activities and provide a description of how they've accomplished their statutory duties in the preceding year. The next set of sections you see beginning on page 11, those are all standard. What I will mention is when you see all the retirement fund appropriations, these riders reflect statutory appropriations that are already in law. It's simply a way of highlighting what those amounts are and who they're for. On the bottom of page 12, the state lottery language is basically, it provides a cap on the open appropriation that exists in statute and just sort of sets their budget that way. Moving over to page 13, you'll see section 32 is basically the contents of Senate File 650 as Senator Gazelka presented it to the committee. At the bottom of page 13, take a look at section 33, which is what captures some of the savings that occur elsewhere in the bill. And Mr. Lundin spent some time talking about this, but this provides the authority to the Commissioner of Management and Budget to reduce general fund appropriations to executive and judicial branch agencies with attention, and you can see at the top of page 14, it specifies which savings would be included in that. I will point out that the commissioner's authority would not be limited necessarily to those savings if they cannot be accomplished. Further reductions in the agency budgets would be authorized. And you can see it includes the reduction in the number of employees, salary and benefit changes, elimination of deputy and assistant commissioner positions, and then operational efficiencies under contracts with vendors and the dependent eligibility verification. Beginning on line 9 of page 14, there's some extra language there to specify that if there is a savings in a dedicated fund, provided it's not one that is otherwise protected, that's obtained through the contracts with vendors, then those savings can be transferred to the general fund. In the the middle of page 14, beginning on line 13, you'll see the language that allows, this would allow MMB to reduce the legislature's appropriation, and it'll be a fixed amount based on what's in the spreadsheet, based only on the savings provided by the salary and benefit changes that are in the act. And then there's also a notice provision there. The commissioner has to provide notice to the Legislative Advisory Commission 30 days before those changes can take effect. Then Article 2, which provides the appropriations for military affairs and veterans affairs, begins on page 14. I'll call your attention to the new language at the bottom of page 15 under Veterans Services. That is the one-time appropriation to MACV from the Support Our Troops account. Beginning on the bottom of page 15 and going over to page 16, you'll see the appropriation for the Higher Education Veterans Assistance Program. That's a one-time appropriation. And the language beginning on page 16, line 3, is what caps the open appropriation that exists in statute for the GI Bill. And then the difference between the cap here and the forecasted amount for that program is what's being used to provide the funding for campus, the Higher Education Veterans Assistance Program. Then at the bottom of page 16 and moving over to page 17, what I want to call your attention to here is this is amending an appropriation that was previously made. Actually, it's amending it for the second time. It was changed last year to further extend that authority, and now it is altered again to reduce one appropriation and provide the difference for the Minneapolis Adult Daycare Center and extend the availability of that appropriation. The repealer that you see on the middle of page 17 in section 5 is that's the repealer of the expiration date for the Higher Education Veterans Assistance Program. Beginning on the bottom of page 17 and continuing on for quite a while is the language from Senator Chamberlain's bill, Senate File 146. This is taken in the same way the committee amended it. There are no changes. I won't go into a great deal of detail here. I think the members heard a lot of discussion that night. So those, if anyone has questions or wants to know more, please stop me, but I will take you all the way through. That carries forward all the way to page 26.
Thank you.
And there you see a section from Senator Lilly's bill relating to deputy commissioners and assistant commissioners. On page 27, you'll see the language that would prohibit the use of state appropriations for the legislative liaison for an agency. There are a variety of the sections from that bill sprinkled throughout the remainder of Article 3, so it gets a little bit confusing. The changes made in that bill affected a variety of agencies, which is why they show up in different places. The change in Section 23 on page 27 is the general language that would prohibit all agencies from having more than one deputy commissioner except the Department of Veterans Affairs and prohibit them from employing assistant commissioners. The language you see beginning on page 24 is also taken from Senator Chamberlain's bill. This is the language that relates to zero-based budgeting. Again, that was discussed pretty thoroughly, so I won't go into detail there. That continues through page 31, and then you'll see section 30 on page 31. This is the language limiting Department of Administration to one deputy commissioner specifically. Section 31 on that page is from Senator Lilly's bill, Senate File 755, and that's the Federal Offset Program Authority for the Department of Revenue. Bottom of page 31 is another portion of Senator Lilly's bill, and you'll see the changes on page 32 that, again, limiting deputy commissioners and assistant commissioners. On page 33, you'll see the language from Senate File 812, Senator Gazelka's bill, the salary freeze language. This is as the committee looked at it last night and adopted it. Then I'll move you to the top of page 35. This is the language that was in Senate File 805, Senator Hand's bill, the healthcare savings account for state employees. Section 35 was a related section from the same bill. Then on page 36, That's the language from Senator Daley's bill, Senate File 81. Again, taken as the committee heard it. And what you see beginning on the bottom of page 38 through the top of page 40 are all taken from Senator Lilly's bill relating to deputy and assistant commissioners. Section 44 is taken from Senator Thompson's bill, Senate File 811, and that's the dependent eligibility audit language. Then if you look at page 41, there are three sections beginning there that were all taken from Senator Nelson's bill heard yesterday, Senate File 907. The final section on page 44 is Senator Carlson's strategic sourcing proposal. That completes the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Bodern. Members, what I would like to do now is to answer any technical questions that you might have on the bill. My intent is to debate and hear amendments tomorrow. So, Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think I have technical questions, but I'm wanting to prepare for tomorrow if I could ask some questions about the substance of what's in the bill and just get a sense of the chair's approach and clarify some questions. I'm not looking to make amendments or get into a debate, but I'd like to get some sense, since this is my first exposure to the bill, just get a sense of, you know, how you weight some of your decisions, to the extent you can answer. Okay. So can I just start going through this?
I'm open for that as long as you don't want to stay here until 10 o'clock. I'd like to get everyone home so that they could get a good night's sleep, because we're going to have some long days ahead, I'm sure. But Senator Cohen, you go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, my goal is to spend, yeah, I can be a little bit verbose, but I heard some people in the audience laugh at that. My goal is to spend, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. No, not any 10 o'clock. So let me just and I'm going through the spreadsheet and looking at some of the cuts. And Mr. Chairman, I certainly recognize that, you know, we've all said, you know, tough numbers and so on. So I'm just kind of going in order of the spreadsheet, not necessarily sure. Order of priority, just order of the spreadsheet. Public broadcasting, there's a 100% reduction in public television and NPR, only a 5% in AMPRS. Now, I've been supportive of all the public broadcasting. So I'm just wondering about the policy rationale as to public television and NPR as opposed to AMPRS.
Let me explain where I'm coming from with I'm looking at the educational side. AMPRS is educating, and I believe when we're this tight, Senator, I believe that I want to protect the entities. AMPRS covers, as I look at the signal areas and the charts, pretty much the same area as NPR does. The service that they're providing is educating students and moving them forth. So that's part of my logic behind that, Senator.
And Mr. Chairman, if I can just also inquire then about public television, where my sense has always been that tends to be, those appropriations tend to be a little bit more outstate in terms of just getting reception.
As far as public television, I'm looking at part of that. I think you saw where we're removing that transfer. I think that's about $300,000 for at least of the broadband.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, on the next page, you don't pass on the governor's tax compliance initiative, I'm assuming, because that's because of what's later in the bill. Is that
correct?
Okay. And then, Mr. Chairman, I want to ask about the minority councils as to why they sustain a 20% cut as opposed to a lot of the other cuts.
Well, as we received, I believe, email or information from each one of the councils, and it appeared when we were looking at them that they were, and they sent it together, that they were having the same issues. And I felt that in all reality, they should be under the humanities, a direction of the humanities as a total umbrella. And working with their budget, I could see that there would be some savings there because of the economies of scale, and that's where we went with that, Senator Cohen.
Again, Mr. Chairman, I'm not interested at this point in getting into a full-scale debate, sure. But I think we'd probably want to at least give a little bit more consideration to that, because I'm not sure. I don't think I recall testimony from the Humanities Commission that they would be prepared.
Senator Cohen, I would say that we did offer time for testimony, as I recall. And they sent us the information via email. And we will. I mean, obviously, if they want to come in now, we're more than happy. But they did send information in writing.
And so, Mr. Chairman, I just not put you on notice, but I do think that's probably an area we should have just a little bit of testimony as to whether or not the Humanities Commission feels that they can absorb these consuls right. within the context of what they do and so on.
All right.
Okay. Next, again, going through the list is why the Arts Board is at 20%. As opposed to a lot of the similar groups at 10 or 15.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be debatable as we move forward, Senator Cohen, and I would rather wait to work on that on Wednesday.
Sure. Okay, Mr. Chairman, see, I'm taking less than 15 minutes. So now let me come to the issues where I do need to ask, not that these past questions are not serious questions, but to the area where I do need to ask some significant questions, because this is a very major part of your bill. And I want to make sure I've got some of the right dollars, because, Mr. Chairman, I missed one of the hearings last week, and that was on Senator Hand's bill. So maybe I could just inquire first of Mr. Lundeen to make so I don't
that would
get
be
off
good.
Track. So, Mr. Lundeen, on page 4, of the spreadsheet you went through. I'm going to ask about fiscal notes. Line 128, the FD, Senator Daley's bill, I believe that 71 was in the fiscal note. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is.
That's correct.
Okay. So that number is fine. Line 130, Deputy and Assistant Commissioner, putting aside all the rhetoric, the $8 million figure, I have no doubt, is correct. 132, federal offset. Then if I can inquire of Mr. Lundeen, line 134, because I missed this, and I didn't see, so I was looking for a fiscal note and didn't see it. But on the healthcare savings account, the 147, was that based on the fiscal note?
It was based on the fiscal note. We've been kind of working with this language, and I've been working with, we had Mr. Morocco in the other day. I've been working with him in some different language that this is actually a reduced amount of savings from the bill that we heard from Senator Hand the other day. So we're still kind of working with the language and getting the estimates put together, but this is what we're looking at.
Senator Cohen, and I would say these are very, very conservative, and we are working on an amendment as we're, because after we heard the testimony, we knew that there were some things that we wanted to do, so that will be coming forward.
And Mr. Chairman, I said I wouldn't get into a lot of debate. I'm sorry I missed the hearing last week. I think I understand whether we agree or disagree relative to making changes in state government. That health care bill puts a burden on lower middle class families. And I'll just make the comment, and I might save it for the floor. I'll make the comment here, kind of break my rule. But we had open enrollment in November for anybody who was elected, and I'll bet there's not a single member of the Senate. And this program, I believe, is available. I'll bet there's not a single member of the state Senate that accepted what we have in this bill. Line 136, the healthcare audits, I have no reason to disagree with that figure. And Mr. Lundeen, if you could remind me on line 138, because we had revised fiscal note for the salary freeze when Senator Kozelka amended his bill from the 6% to the salary freeze.
Yeah, this was
that was the 19 for the biennium. Mr. Chairman, let me then address for a minute, and that's it for me tonight, the last two items on the spreadsheet, line 140 and line 142. There are no fiscal notes for these figures of $140 million and 46 million. With all due respect, these are names drawn out of a hat. I didn't take down Mr. Lundin's remarks verbatim, so I'm paraphrasing him, but in essence, I believe what Mr. Lundin said is, we're working on this, we don't quite have the fiscal note, but the inflection's mine, not Mr. Lundin's. But in past years, at the risk of citing some colleagues in the other body, the creative legislator who always came into conference committee was Representative Rukavina. And he had some wild ideas, and we'd say, give us a break. We're not going to do something like that. But I will tell you, and this is not a Democratic versus a Republican thing, when I've conferred in the last 10 years with Representatives Crinkey, McElroy, and Representative Knobloch, when he was chairman of House Ways and Means, we never saw numbers like this. Governor Plenty has taken pride and is now campaigning nationally on the fact that he never raised taxes. He would bend over backwards with his Department of Revenue on the tax compliance issue to squeeze every last dollar out of revenue for tax compliance purposes. I listened to the entirety of Senator Nelson's bill last night. We had a fiscal note. We didn't have a fiscal note. We had a proposal and numbers from her witness based on nothing to do with the state government of Minnesota. He just said, well, I think we could get this much money. That's what we had. We think we could get this much money. We had the testimony from the folks within the agencies. And these are not partisan folks who testified. These are people who've worked over all sorts of administrations, Plenty, Ventura, Carlson. And they testified that there's nothing like this, nothing close to it. They also testified, we're already doing it. The last matter in this is Senator Carlson's bill, Strategic Sourcing. We listened to that bill for about 5 minutes. End of a long night. We were all tired. There was no fiscal note. These numbers, Mr. Chairman, are invented numbers. You've asked for amendments, and right, I'm half tempted on, you know, line 140 to substitute 140, to strike 140 million and substitute the number 3,250 million, because, you know, that number has as much substance as these numbers. And it's not that I disagree. I might disagree as a matter of policy relative to some of the issues. But that's what I want to go through carefully with Mr. Lundin to make sure I did not misstate some of these larger numbers, that whether it's a good idea, bad idea, indifferent idea, the numbers work. These last two numbers, and again, I'd like to find out a little bit more about the health care because I wasn't present for that, but these last two numbers absolutely do not work. They are not real numbers. They are not numbers that can balance a budget. If they are numbers for just going into conference committee, I've done that. I've done that with the assistant commissioner piece. But I had a real number that could be booked.
Senator Cohen, I would state that these last two you're talking about, they are very small as compared to what we have been told they believe the numbers are in the state. Okay, so we're very, very conservative here. And these well, I think we can debate on other things when we're looking at the budget, but at this point, as we're working with Mr. Lundin, these numbers are so conservative as compared to what somebody from outside says, and if we can agree that they're another tool in the toolkit for our agencies, a quick start, and that's how I'm looking at these, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, in the context of your overall goal, I have no objection and concur that we should offer tools to the agencies. I'm not sure, for instance, in terms of Senator Chamberlain's bill, I think. Did Senator Chamberlain have
zero-based budgeting?
Yeah. You know, maybe not unreasonable. I'm not sure I agree with how it's all drafted, but not unreasonable. I realize that's further, it's not for this biennium. But, Mr. Chairman, I was here for every minute of the presentation of these two bills last night. And when you say, well, we heard testimony that it's just a portion, the testimony we heard was from some guy from, I don't know if it was from IBM or where he was from, and he had some figures of like $480 million.
$499,
whatever it was. But there was no basis. That he wasn't basing that on Minnesota state government. He was basing it on whatever. And this was not an expert witness. When we heard from the people from the agencies, they said that was ludicrous. That's the testimony we heard. And all I'll tell you, all I'll suggest is that where we have done these budgets in the past, and again, this is not a partisan comment, because I made reference to House chairmen who are conservative Republicans. I don't think anybody would suggest Phil Kroenke is a big government type. And I can tell you that Representative Kroenke would come into conference with his fiscal notes. And whether it was the Ventura Finance Department or the Pawlenty Management Budget Department or the Carlson Finance Department, he would come into conference with the fiscal notes that worked. There's no fiscal note for these things. Now, I recognize, Mr. Chairman, and I've been there, where you got a pretty hefty target. And not at this level. In years past, I've had some hefty targets, a couple of which I created for myself. But I could still make it work. I know I had Governor Carlson furious at me over something that we did not recommend at the front end. That was about a $45 million expenditure, and he was really upset. But I do have to ask you, Mr. Chairman, over these next couple of days, because I do not in any way doubt your integrity or intent or perspective in terms of trying to deal with this. You and I might disagree on how to get there. I might disagree with some of the policy issues presented in your bill. But I do not disagree. For instance, I don't think it's exactly a secret that I've been a supporter of public broadcasting. I don't agree with, do I think NPR and public television should take a cut? Absolutely. Do I think they should take a 100% cut? No. But that works. That's a real number. So whether or not I agree with that cut or not, I do not in any way disagree with your putting that number into the spreadsheet and reflecting that in how you get to your target. But these two numbers in particular, they're simply not real numbers. So, Mr. Chairman, let me just conclude by saying I'm hoping that management and budget will have some fiscal notes for us that we can take a look at. I will only suggest that over the years, let's go over the past 8 years. We know, everybody at this table, whether we were here or not, knows there were some significant differences between certainly the Democratic majority Senate and Governor Pawlenty. But I don't recall that we challenged the fiscal notes coming from Governor Pawlenty's Management and Budget Office. So I'm hoping that we can try to see some real fiscal notes, see if it works. I'll be the first to apologize if we get fiscal notes that present these kinds of numbers. I promise you, I'll be the first to apologize. We have some snowstorms coming up potentially. I'll come down to Waseca and shovel your walk to show you that. I'll hold off until we see those. But I just want to, Mr. Chairman, put you on notice that I do think that these numbers absolutely do not work.
All right. Well, thank you, Senator Cohen. Again, these figures represent about 33% of what the private sector is telling us. And I look forward to the debate as we move forward and you shoveling my sidewalk. So, Senator Goodwin.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. That's if I apologize for being wrong about this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Senator Goodwin.
I have a question online, same fiscal note, same budget, 134 and 130, well, 136, let's go with that, the health care audits. The $5 million savings in the health care audits is assuming, obviously, that we have $5 million worth of fraudulent dependency claims by state employees. That's the only way we could... That's the only way we could come up with money on this fraud, on this particular line. And what I'm curious about is this $5 million would be between now and, and July 1st, because as of July 1st, the health care savings account, if I'm not getting the year wrong, is that it's 2011 that would, the health care savings account process would come. I just can't see that you're going to save $5 million between now and July 1st. And by finding fraudulent dependence on state employees' health care claims. I don't think there's ever been any evidence of this or even any question until this committee, but not that things don't happen. They happen everywhere, but that seems like an awful lot of money for savings for dependents' health care. The other thing is, if you're going to have...
Senator Goodwin, Mr. Lundeen, would you address that? We have a fiscal on that, do we not?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. We have a fiscal note, and we're assuming a little earlier implementation than the fiscal note. The fiscal note was booking savings starting in fiscal year 13, but we figured they could start doing that a bit earlier, so we've kind of moved the fiscal note savings starting in fiscal year 12 and fiscal year 13, and these are based on the numbers from the fiscal note from MMB.
What did the fiscal note say? How much?
It matches the numbers down there, the general fund savings, and then there would be savings to the other funds. So the $5 million there, and then approximately another $11 million savings in the other funds.
That's quite a bit different. Mr. Chair, the issue is, though, if they're going to have health care savings accounts, which is right there by that, that's really no coverage at all. I mean, I don't know whether or not they'll be putting dependents on that, but it would seem unlikely that they would put dependents on health care that they couldn't use unless they had $5,000 worth of claims for those dependents in a year's time. So I don't think if you're basing that on the current health care system, that's one thing. I still don't agree with those numbers, but you're basing it on also in the same proposal a healthcare savings account that is very different, and in fact there would be no savings because the state isn't paying for any of this healthcare savings account. The employee is paying for it. So how can we possibly register a savings?
I missed your last. I was thinking that, you know,
that's
we're going to get into that on Wednesday again. But I bring up the CGIP. We are still working, and by tomorrow, hopefully, we'll have the information we're looking for on that.
Okay, thank you.
I'll ask
it later then.
Anybody else?
I had something, but it was gone.
All right. Well, if there's no further, again, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, a procedural question.
You did use 14 and a half minutes, I was noticing.
This one's quick. Just a procedural question, Mr. Chairman.
That was pretty good.
Better than I thought it'd be. Relative to amendments,
yes.
You're looking for amendments in writing, but if we want to make dollar amendments, I mean, we're just going to, instead of 200, we're going to move 100. Do we need that to be in writing?
Mr. Bodern, I know you are a wizard with this. Can you keep track of that if we go that route? Or,
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a question for Mr. Lundeen. If it's moving money from one appropriation to another, we can usually handle that orally.
Senator Ortman?
Could you use a mic?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Senator Olson, can you hear me now? I wanted to ask Senator Cohen, you know, it begs the question then, are we going to be moving $1 at a time in amendments, or are we moving substantial pots of money? I mean, this could be ad infinitum, or it could be reasonable amendments that we'd be willing to vote on.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, don't misunderstand my question. I'm not even sure I have any amendments. I just, as we're talking tomorrow, if all of a sudden I think, why aren't we doing this number instead of that number? Just something simple. I'm not talking about, certainly in terms of any more complex amendments, absolutely.
I would really like it if they were in written form, but I understand you're going. I would ask that you try hard to have it in writing.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Orton.
Over here, my kids who shovel the walks and driveways want in on the bet, and their money's on you, Senator Cohen. So are you Chanhassen walks and Driveways, does that count? Are you in?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, in your case, that depends on what you do with LGA.
Senator Cohen, I invite you back for 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.
No, I'll wait.
Thank you. Senator Dibble?
I remembered, Mr. Chair. Senator Cohen said that we never challenged Pawlenty's MMB's fiscal notes. We actually did challenge them from time to time. We worked really hard to persuade the agency and management and budget to change their numbers.